And it is 8:18, and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm News Director Jonathan Reeves, and joining us in the studios this morning is Chintan Desai. He is the Democratic challenger for the first congressional district seat that's currently held by Rick Crawford. And Mr. Desai, thanks for coming in. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Jonathan.
So I know you've been on before, but I thought this would be a great opportunity just to remind some of our listeners who may have not heard of you before. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the son of Indian immigrants. They moved to this country in the early 1980s. They were looking for a better life for themselves and their future only child, who was me. I had a great upbringing in terms of opportunities. My dad, managed a fast food restaurant. My mom scrubbed floors at an arts and crafts store, and they just made sure that I had terrific opportunities growing up, which I did. Great K-12 public school education. The day after I graduated, I moved to Helena, Arkansas to teach fifth grade social studies, and I've since been in the education sector, still in Helena, bought a house there, I've made it my home. In terms of, you know, why I've decided to run, why I've thrown my hat in the ring, you know, my parents, they had to move from a different country. They made the very difficult choice of having to go out of their, you know, where they grew up and move to the United States, because they knew that meant economic opportunity, that meant greater outcomes for themselves and their future. And that was a really bold decision. It was the right decision. At the same time, I am hearing a lot of similar themes when we talk about people who live in the first district, people who live here, who either know someone, who are considering themselves that maybe I need to move myself. Maybe I need to leave this part of the country because there isn't much opportunity for me. And I want to make sure that that's not a decision that people here have to make.
What do you think are the factors that lead to that? Why are there so many challenges here in this part of the country?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we're a very rural district, right? So we're incredibly spread out. And so that means, the spreading out of different resources. And you know, if we're talking about lack of access to rural broadband, if we're talking about lack of investment in education, lack of investment in infrastructure, I think those are the sorts of things that ultimately lead to a lack of economic development, a lack of jobs. And then people do have to, they feel like they have to go somewhere else. And I think that's a theme that we hear over and over again.
So how do you start working on some of those challenges to try and make it to where it is a place that, as you say, people would not want to leave and want to stay here in this area?
Sure. I think a couple things. I think first, you have to start with education. I think you have to start with investment in making sure that we are adequately funding, in terms of federal funding, schools here in the 1st Congressional District, that we are paying teachers what they're worth. I think Arkansas ranks about 39th in teacher pay throughout the country. And if we don't have great educational systems, I know it was true for me, because I had a great education, because I had a great public school education, that led to outcomes beyond that. I think beyond that, we have infrastructure spending that we're not spending nearly enough in terms of repairing roads, in terms of bridges, in terms of our energy systems. And ultimately, we think that lack of investment has meant that there hasn't been jobs. There haven't been opportunities for people to insert themselves and help make our community better. So we think that if we invest in education, invest in infrastructure spending, we think that that's the right formula. And it's not about providing tax cuts to the richest Americans. That's not the way we're actually going to invest in our economy and ultimately create jobs.
So going back to education, what would be some of your specific plans to be able to try to fix some of these things that are challenged, if you don't mind, please?
Absolutely. So I think that you don't have nearly enough investment in education at this point. If we're talking about schools in Arkansas that are not being invested in, if we're talking about teachers, again, who are about 39th in the country in terms of teacher pay, let's bring that up to $50,000 a year. Let's make sure that teachers are getting paid what they're worth and can ultimately lead to greater pay. If teachers don't feel like they have a great place to raise their family, if they don't feel like they're being valued in their profession, then ultimately, and I've seen it time and time again in my own profession, teachers who are leaving the state going for other opportunities, and that's ultimately to the detriment of students and parents.
Chintan Desai joins us. He is the Democratic challenger in the U.S. District 1 race. It's currently held by Rick Crawford. He joins us here on KASU. Well, Jen, what is your strategy for winning this district that is, first of all, it's in a red state, mm-hmm. and then also this district's gone Republican over the past several election cycles. Tell us about that. What do you think it's going to take for you to be able to win?
Yeah, I think it's a few things, but I think the most important piece of that is just meeting voters where they are and making sure that I am seen and people know who I am and know exactly where I stand. And I think the distinction that we're trying to present then between ourselves and Congressman Crawford is, look, Congressman Crawford, well, I respect him. He's a good man. He has not been very present in the district. He is not someone who holds town halls. He's not someone that looks constituents in the eyes and tells them exactly how he's voted and why. He's not, you know, he's got a congressional office in Dumas that we went to a few weeks ago that was non-operational. I think that's incredibly problematic. And so, for example, we're going to start a program here in July called 30 and 30, 30 counties in 30 days, where we literally get to every single county in the district. We advance that trip, making sure that we're spending worthwhile time in every single community, but ultimately trying to reach as many voters as possible and making sure they know who I am and where I stand. And look, you mentioned the Republican piece. You mentioned this is a pretty Republican district, and we see that. At the same time, we think that if we get to some of these communities, we activate places like Jonesboro, like Crittenden County, like Mississippi County, places where we haven't seen voter turnout as high as it should be. A lot of those votes could be Democratic votes, and if we make sure that we are spreading the right message, ultimately those are things that will make this a much tighter election than what people think.
All right. And what is that message?
Yeah, it's a message of economic opportunity and representation. It's a message of, you know, every single person in this district matters, and you have the right to live here in Arkansas and have access to terrific opportunity, just like, you know, the person down the road, just like the person who might have a family name that's different or, you know, has greater access to income. And you also have access, or should have access, to a representative who listens to you, who recognizes that there's a ton of ingenuity in this district and a lot of great ideas. And if they're able to be represented by that person, ultimately that's someone that's going to greater represent their interests in Washington.
Do you think Democrats have had a hard time communicating that message to voters? And that's maybe one of the reasons why Trump got into office and other things. Do you think there's been a messaging issue with Democrats?
Yeah, and I think it goes in a couple of ways. I think certainly there have been a segment of the population that feels like they haven't been heard. And certainly I think President Trump did a good job, right, of capitalizing on that. At the same time, I think there's segments of the population that have simply not been activated at all. Again, if you look at some counties in our district, Crittenden County, for example, had a pretty low voter turnout. And I wonder, and certainly what we're trying to put into effect, is if they simply have someone who better represents them, someone who is you know, representing them in a way where their interests are heard, maybe they'll actually come out and vote.
All right. Chintan Desai joining us. Let's start talking about some of the things that are going on, some of the, you know, the things that are taking place. And one of the things that has been going on, of course, is a lot of people have seen about the zero tolerance. Mm-hmm. That's been taking place a lot this past week, and there's been a lot of talk about that. Your thoughts on immigration reform and how it's being handled? And then the second part of that question is, what do we do to resolve this, and how do you think immigration reform should be handled?
Sure. That's a good question. So first, I think the policy of separating families, and I think most Arkansans, most Americans are with us on this, is something that's not acceptable. And it's not something that represents our values. It's not something where we're leading by humanity. We need to make sure that we're keeping families together. I'm glad that we're making sure that now we have the executive director, that's the direction we're going to go in. We still have many families who need to be reunited, and so that's something that we'll be looking at. In terms of the larger direction and where we need to be going, We know that immigration is messy and it's a complicated system. Whatever fix that we're going for needs to make sure that we have, the restoration of order and also restoration of humanity. And, you know, if we're talking about immigrants who come to this country, I'm the son of immigrants myself. They're coming here because they see an opportunity for themselves and their future. And that's, I think, if we lead by humanity or through humanity in that, and realize that that's the case for most people coming here, we can ultimately lead to a system where we are leading with, yes, making sure that we are protecting our borders, but making sure that at the same time that people have access to come into this country and ultimately lead to better lives. And I think if we just simply keep those things in mind, we can lead to an immigration system that'll work better for everyone.
Right. And so if you were to get into office, I know that's one of the things you would deal with is immigration reform. How would you work with others to be able to work on crafting something that would be, as you say, something that would work for everybody?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, just a couple points. I mean, particularly if you have immigrant or children who are coming into this country by no fault of their own, we need to make sure that there's a fix for them. We need to make sure that they have a pathway to citizenship and an ability to stay in this country. I think if you are an individual who is clearly coming here because you want to better yourself, because you want to work, there should be a pathway to citizenship there. And at the same time, yeah, you have border security. I don't think there's any need for a wall. I don't know that there's any evidence that works and is something that's going to lead to better border security. But I'm fine with making sure that we are protecting our borders while at the same time, again, making sure that people who want to come here, want to better themselves, have the opportunity to do so.
Last week, the House passed a farm bill that tightened work requirements in order to receive SNAP benefits. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, you know, I am fine with the idea that if you are an able-bodied person, that you are working in order to receive SNAP benefits. At the same time, again, let's lead with some humanity here. Let's think about children who are affected here. They're, you know, some of the biggest beneficiaries of SNAP benefits. And when you are making it even harder for people who are, you know, there are already work requirements in SNAP, right? You already do have to work to be able to receive those benefits. We're talking about increasing the age of the working person to 59 and increasing, you know, making it so that if you are, if you have children who are over the age of 5, that you're working. And, you know, I disagree with the notion that we need to make those work requirements even more stringent when we have so many people who are relying on SNAP benefits, who use that as a social safety net to ultimately better their lives. And so while ultimately I'm okay with the idea of making sure that people who are able-bodied are working, I don't know that we need to make them any more stringent in terms of the requirements.
Right. And because if you were to win, as you know, agriculture is huge in the 1st Congressional District, what would you like to see in a farm bill, or how would you look at future farm bills and how they would, you know, because that would affect Arkansas agriculture?
Yeah, I mean, I think the nutrition title, right, is one of the biggest things. So making sure that that is figured out, that people, that farmers have a market in terms of some of those beneficiaries to be able to sell their products. At the same time, I think there are a few things that we could do to make sure that farmers know that they have a safety net themselves, whether it's direct payments, making sure they have adequate crop insurance. I think there's a few things that we could do to make sure that we are protecting our farmers, because we know that that's one of the biggest industries here in the 1st District.
Another big industry is steel in the 1st District. And so there's been a lot of concerns about steel tariffs and all of that, and even the effects they have on the businesses. Some businesses in the 1st Congressional District, of course, you have Nucor, you have Big River Steel and others. Kind of your thoughts on kind of how the United States has been handling this, and what are your thoughts on how you would handle the situation when it deals with this?
Yeah, I don't think that getting into a trade war with China or with some of our, you know, the other countries that we align ourselves with is the answer. You know, if we certainly recognizing that steel is important. At the same time, I don't think that in terms of trying to reduce our trade deficit with China, that tariffs is the right direction to go in. Because if you look at what countries do when they have tariffs placed on them, we know that China is simply going to find a different market, or, you know, different place to import their goods from. And so we recognize that there are trade issues. We recognize that a lot of our trade deals that we have right now are not perfect. I think the way that we approach that is by looking at what we can do to make those trade deals better. And I think one of the main things that you can do is, if you look at countries and their ability to regulate some of those corporations that come in, there are labor standards that are not egalitarian throughout the country. There are not work standards that make sense that are, you know, standard work conditions throughout the world. And then ultimately that leads to a race to the bottom where different countries are trying to get investment from corporations that are, yeah, they're putting their jobs in different places. They're putting their investment in different places. If we simply work to make trade deals that ultimately have a fair labor standard throughout the world, then I think that's something that's going to benefit all Americans.
Chintan Desai is running for Congress. He's a Democratic challenger of a U.S. District Representative Rick Crawford for the 1st Congressional District seat. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be talking to you next month.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves reporting.